A recorder joined.
Welcome, everyone. So I'm happy to welcome you to the Tuesday, June 9th Finance and Facilities Committee meeting. This is Trustee Don Danko, and I will be chairing the meeting. Just as a reminder, all callers are to stay on mute for audio quality unless you're called on to speak. We do have roll call in place for both attendance and for questions, and we will take regular stops. This is a fairly lengthy presentation tonight to address any questions that arise. I'll start with the roll call for trustees for committee members. Trustee Buck.
I am here.
Thank you. Trustee Galindo.
I'm also present. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Johnstone.
Joined.
Thank you. And Trustee Tutt.
Here.
Thank you. Thank you. I know that we have our communications officer, Mark Taylor, on the line, senior facilities manager, Dave Anderson, our associate director, Stacey Zucker, Gail McDonald is our recorder, and our senior manager, Denise Dawson, is on the line. Are there any other staff on the line that I've missed? Hearing none, are there any other trustees who have joined us today that are not committee members? Okay, so I will start by calling the meeting to order and looking for approval of the agenda. Trustee Buck, I'll get you to move that. Are there any comments or questions about our agenda tonight? Just again, going through roll call. Trustee Buck?
No questions.
Thank you. Trustee Galindo?
No questions.
Trustee Johnstone?
No questions.
And Trustee Tutt?
No questions.
Thank you. I will let trustees know that item four on the agenda, resolution to committee as a whole, is if questions arise about a specific role or specific salaries, that would be an in-camera question, and we can move into camera at that point. If no questions arise, then we will not need to move into committee as a whole. So with that, is anyone opposed to approving the agenda? Okay, hearing no one, we will approve the agenda and move on to the 2020-2021 budget estimates. So that's item number three, and we do have a presentation as well as a report to review. The focus will be on the presentation, but of course details are in the report that were shared with trustees in advance of the meeting. I will turn it over to Associate Director Zucker.
Thank you, Trustee Danko, and thank you to the Finance and Facilities Committee. This is a very unusual way to present the budget for many reasons. One being that obviously doing it remotely is tricky, so I hope that we provide enough information for trustees to be able to ask the questions at timely manner. And also we're presenting this budget for approval without receiving our GSN yet. So when we receive 98% of our funding from one source and we don't know what that entire source is yet, it does make it tricky to come up with a budget. That being said, we've used our budget assumptions and we've done the calculations in the same way that we've done in previous years. And when we've estimated our budgets before and then received the GSNs after the fact, if there are no significant changes to the budget, we've always found that we've come very close to the actuals, and that is a testament to Denise Dawson and her team, who are so skilled at being able to calculate our grants even without them. So if you have the presentation open, if you turn to 3.2, just outlines our agenda. So we're going to go through the process. Enrollment, again, is important because it's the driver of our revenues. So the GSN basically provides an amount per student in many cases. So enrollment is an important factor. Then we will go through our revenues and expenditures and look at our capital budget. So if we turn to 3.3, it's just an outline of our budget timelines. So we already have done a lot of work with regards to the budget, and trustees know that as we've been meeting weekly, but also going back to February when we started looking at our assumptions and then our priorities, we've approved school-based staffing, and all through from February to May and after March break when we were meeting weekly, we have brought back information. We were making recommendations. We are, again, in a situation where there are no significant changes expected in the budget from last year because we have a slight increase in enrollment and no significant changes. We are in a position that makes this budget, based on all the work that we've done in previous years, very status quo and able to meet the priorities that the trustees have set. So again, we are looking to approve this budget tonight, to make the recommendation to approve it at board on June 22nd. Once we receive the information from the ministries and know the deadline, then we will be able to, staff will be able to do the work that's required to submit the budget. If we turn to the next page, 3.4, just again, reminder that we have not received the grant for student needs yet or the technical papers or the EFIS forms. So even when the ministry announces that they've released their grant for student needs, it really does involve having to have the technical paper, which is the detail of the grant, in order for staff to be able to do those calculations. So we recognize that even when we receive the grant for student needs, the technical paper sometimes takes a week or two to follow. So again, even if we receive the grant for student needs next week, we still will be in a position where we won't be able to have the complete detail until we receive the technical paper. We also have not received the Priorities and Partnership Funds, and those are the one-time grants or the grants that the ministry provides us outside of the GSN. We have heard that we can expect it in late June or July. We also heard that maybe it's next week. So again, because of this, we thought that this was an important process to follow to be able to move forward with our budget. And again, the ministry did indicate that there would be no significant changes in this year's GSN, no surprises, and that the assumptions that we made in February through our budget assumption process would be accurate in order for us to be able to develop the budget revenue. So if you turn to 3-5, and I think this is where this year really differs from prior years, we did create the budget using our assumptions, so using our assumed enrollment and assuming that there are no significant changes to the GSN. Enrollment isn't usually a big question mark like it is possibly for September based on the things that are happening in the world. But we expect that until we get to September and know what it looks like, we're not going to be able to make any changes in our budget anyways, and that would be through the revised budget process, which happens in November, December. We will have, and you see in the report, additional motions that we don't usually have, and that is because we're doing this based on budget assumptions. So we would have a motion that says if we have additional funding, we're going to be adding it to the contingency. If we have less funding than we expected, we would decrease our contingency. And if the change is greater than $1 million, then we will have to come back to trustees. So we'll talk about these assumptions later on in the presentation and go into them in more detail when we talk about the motions and when we look to trustees to be able to support those motions. So 3-6 is a little bit of background, but just that we are required by regulation to submit a balanced budget. Usually it's by June 30th. We expect obviously an increase or an extension to this deadline. We're not sure what it is yet. At HWDFB, it's the Finance and Facilities Committee that are responsible for planning and developing the budget. And for some trustees, this is their first year through the process. And again, I think you recognize now the magnitude of this job and how important your input is into making sure that the board uses its strategic priorities as a basis for the budget, its budget priorities, and therefore the budget. So this is a quote, 3-7, that we've been using for the last 7 years anyways, and I think it really does speak to budgeting. And it's show me your budget and I'll show you your values. So where we spend money is where we will, where we show our value and where we show what we think is important. So I think that that is something that we do take into account the entire time that we are budgeting. And it helps when we look at, do we have excess funding? Where should we be spending it? Or when we make, have to make reductions, where do we make those reductions? So again, I do think that it's an important quote just to help us guide the general budget process. Just a reminder on 3-8 of our strategic direction, positive culture and well-being, student learning and achievement, effective communications and school renewal and partnerships. These five strategic directions help us to focus our conversations and to focus our budget priorities, which we passed in April and are included on 3-9, improving literacy, improving mathematics, school revitalization, special education, student supports, and under student supports, that's where mental health and equity and well-being would lie, and then 21st century learning. So that would be in kind of blended learning, and as you can imagine, again, in this environment, this becomes more important. So I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to turn it over to Denise to walk through the rest of the presentation. And I'm just wondering, Trustee Danko, if you want to pause there for any questions, or do we want to move along?
For clarity of conversation, I think it might be helpful to do a quick check-in with trustees. I do want to say thanks for clarifying where mental health and well-being supports and equity fall in our budget priorities. That was going to be one of my questions, as well as blended learning. So I'll just go through the roll call really quickly to see if there are any questions at this point. Trustee Buck?
I'm not sure if this is just the most simple question that I could ask. Assuming that the budget, as you're presenting it, were not to have any changes once we do receive the GSMs and everything that we need from the ministry, but when we do our count on, is it September 30th or October 30th?
The enrollment October 31st.
Yes, on October 31st, in our enrollment, we find it to be much lower than a significant amount lower as we see as a possibility given the current climate that we find ourselves. What would that mean for operations? Does that, I assume no staff member would be out of work, but how, what do we adjust when something like that happens?
That's a great question. Go ahead, please.
Sorry. yeah, it is a great question, and it's a question that we're asking ourselves, too, because if we're in this situation, we won't be in this situation alone. We know that there will be boards across the province who would be dealing with the exact same situation because it's possible that people may not be comfortable sending their students to school, or in the case of kindergarten, they may defer on enrolling their students. And so we're somewhat waiting for that to happen and hoping that the ministry would help us out in some way. That being said, if they don't, we would have to be looking at contingencies, or we would have to be looking at something from the ministry to say, you know what, we don't need all the staff that we have, and what are our possibilities in that situation. So there are many sort of unknowns right now with regards to that, and we're hoping that that's something that it is something that we're bringing forward to the ministry as a concern, and it's something that they will be dealing with and hopefully providing direction, and I would say in instances possibly funding. But at the same time, we also have a contingency and we have reserves on hand, which is why we've done a really good job of building up our accumulated surplus in the past. So if it were, because this would be a one-time drop, then it would be something that we would bring back to trustees, but the comfort level of staff to be using reserves in certain instances to address one-time concerns. So a roundabout answer to say, not 100% sure, but we have, we've thought about it and that we would be looking to the ministry that we could use our reserves or that we would have to look in some instances for savings in our current budget.
Thank you. And just to address the other part of the question, when we have allocated staff positions at this point through the collective agreement process in the spring, we can't reduce that number of staff. Just, I'm not sure if that was stated. I got slightly distracted. But did you have a follow-up, Trustee Buck?
No, that was great. I just wanted to confirm that all staff positions are secure once we reach that one deadline, and so that is reassuring that nobody's going to be dropped on November 1st when those numbers come in. No, and thank you, Stacey, for that clarification. It's everything about this year has been unprecedented, so why not this, right? So it'll be interesting to see how everything unfolds. No more questions.
Thank you. Just on that particular item, Associate Director Zucker, have we talked to the ministry about how we will track enrollment if students are, say, participating virtually but not physically coming to the school? Has that discussion arisen?
So those are the types of things that we're discussing with the ministry when we are discussing what September is going to look like. So, again, we are understanding that clarification will come when the ministry provides what September will look like and, therefore, how we will track enrollment and all of those other types of things that are going to be important for ensuring that we have the appropriate funding.
Thank you. Trustee Galindo.
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Johnstone.
Good, thanks.
And Trustee Tuck.
No questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So at this point, we'll turn it over to Senior Manager Dawson for the next section of the report.
Thank you, Dawn, and thank you, Stacey, for the introduction. And you pretty well got through all of the enrollment questions, so we're good. Our next section is starts with slide 3.10, which is enrollment. And I will stop after each section for questions. A lot of this stuff we've already covered through our presentations to finance and facilities throughout April and May, so none of this should be new to you. However, if there are questions, please don't hesitate to ask. So enrollment is the biggest part of our grants for student needs. Our grants for student needs are 98.6% of our total revenue. So our enrollment is based on October 31st and March 31st, so half of October 31st enrollment and half of March 31st enrollments are how we are funded throughout the year. So our projections for enrollment are very important. So if you look at slide 11, you can see within elementary, you can see a gradual increase in enrollment over the last couple of years. When we start at 11-12, what you can see is a large portion of this increase is FDK over the first couple of years, where full-day kindergarten went from half-time prior to 11-12, students were half-time in the classroom in kindergarten, and then with the introduction of full-day kindergarten, they became full-time. So you do see a very large spike over the first few years of the introduction of full-day kindergarten, and you continue to see growth in the elementary panel as families have moved into the community from outside of outside of the Hamilton-Wentworth area. Secondary, on the other hand, we did see a gradual decline in enrollment. However, if you take a look at 1920 and 2021, you see a flattening of the decline, which is good news for all of us. And we are hoping and are projecting, when we take a look at the next slide, a slight increase in enrollment for next year. So for 2021, we are projecting 37,030 students in elementary from last year's approved budget, which was at this time of 36,198, a growth of 832 students. Please remember in the fall of 2019, we brought back a report where a large chunk of this enrollment growth had been experienced. We were up approximately 400 or so students in September, October 2019, which provided us an increase in staffing due to reorganization in September. So a lot of that growth we did experience over the summer and into September 2019. Secondary, we are expecting a small growth of approximately 67 students. So in total, a growth of 899 or 1.81% of our students. I will continue with revenue. Three sources of revenue. We have our grants for student needs. They're based on a set of formulas and inputs to determine funding for all school boards. So we use enrollment, and we have unique student needs that are built into there. So it's enrollment for regular students, French as a second language, ESL students, and then there are benchmarks which are applied across the province. Those benchmarks are consistent. We have other ministry grants, which are primarily our citizen and immigration grants, both federal and provincial, which would be our LINC, and our ABL grants, which are adult basic literacy and language introduction for newcomer citizens. Those are our other ministry grants, plus our priorities and partnership funds, which in the current year we have no confirmation of any for the 2021 school year, so we have not included any there. And our final area of revenue are board-generated funds, which are international student fees, community use of schools and rental revenue, and bank and investment revenue, and a few miscellaneous revenue amounts. When you go to 3-15, our total operating revenues for 2021, we have a total revenue amount of $587 million, up $19 million from last year. Our grants from student needs are 98.6% of it, or approximately $479 million, other ministry grants being $3.7 million, and our miscellaneous revenue is approximately $4.6 million. When we look at our largest portion of our revenue, which is our grants for student needs, this is just a little bit of information on what these grants represent. Our largest grant is our Pupil Foundation grant. It's approximately 49% of our total grant. It's 100% driven by enrollment. And there are grade-specific allocations per student. So the amount for a FDK student versus a 1 through 3, 4 to 8, and 9 to 12 student all varies based on ministry formula. This is expected to cover the basic cost of education for all of our students. It's expected to cover classroom teachers, some early childhood educators, textbooks and instructional supplies, classroom computers, professional development, assistant principals, teacher consultants, and our professionals and paraprofessional supports, which are our PSST staff, such as social workers, speech language consultants, our IT technicians, and staff like that are supporting the schools. Our next grant is our school foundation grant, which is approximately 6% of our revenue. And this is driven by enrollment and, again, the number of the schools. And this covers the cost of all of our principals and vice principals, school office staff, school office supplies, and school office and administrative computers. And as a board, this is one area that we, although not required by regulation, that we like to stay within this envelope. So our school foundation grant revenue, we like to match against our costs of principals, vice principals, school office staff, and the various things associated with that. When you move to slide 3.18, a large portion of our grants are special purpose grants. They're 45% of our total, and these are driven by program enrollment and board demographics and the unique needs of all of the various boards and students across the province. And these are a wide variety of different grants. They include special education, our language grants, which are French as a second language and English as a second language, our learning opportunities grant, Indigenous education, qualifications and experience, which is basically a grant that provides boards with a pop-up for when we pay salaries, when an actual board pays actual salaries, which are greater than the provincial average, safe schools, continuing education, board administration and governance, school operations, which is facilities management, and transportation. One of the key things that the ministry requires us to do is there are a few ministry requirements for the budget. One, that we must file a budget, balanced budget. If that's not the case, there are some consequences that the ministry does put in place. So we always strive to have a balanced budget. When we're filing our budget, we must be in compliance with legislations and regulations, which include our full-day kindergarten class cap, primary and grade 4 to 8 class sizes, our secondary average class sizes. In addition, there are funding envelopes, which basically means you either need to stay within the envelope, or if you don't stay within the funding, you must put it aside to be spent in future years. So both special education and accommodation are one of those envelopes where if you don't spend the entire revenue that's allocated to you through the GSN, you must put it aside to be spent next year. So it is deferred for spending in future years. Board admin and governance is one of those areas that is the opposite. You must stay within the funding envelope, so you are not allowed to overspend the amount that the ministry provide you, and so those are basically the budget requirements when we put the budget together. As Stacy mentioned, we have not had a GSN announcement. However, we do know some things, and these things that these assumptions have been built in the budget. So we have increased salaries and ministry salary benchmarks in the grant by 1% for September 1st, 2019, which will be paid out retroactively to staff this year. We've also put a 1% increase in for September 1st, 2020, in accordance with the Central Labor Agreement. And in many of the Central Labor Agreements, there were benefit increases that were built in for the employee life and health trust, which pays for the negotiated benefits such as dental, health insurance, prescriptions, and things like that. So anything that has been built into the negotiated central agreements has been built into our expenditures and built into our revenue calculations. In addition, the ministry did provide us information through the central agreements and negotiations that the grade 9 to 12 class size would be an average class size of 23 to 1, and that has been built into both the expenditures and the revenue. And a highlight to the grants this year is the support for student funds, which has provided us $5.6 million in funding to support additional staffing for teachers and education workers. And this staffing is to support special education, mental health, and unique learning needs, or safe and healthy schools. It also does provide professional development for our early childhood educators. So when you take all of that together and put it into slide 3.22, you see our total grants for student needs. They're $578,700,000, an increase of $19.9 million. When you take a look at the Pupil Foundation grant, you see it going up by $21.3 million. A large portion of that, again, would be enrollment, because this is 100% driven by enrollment. Plus, it also includes the 1% increase that was negotiated for 2019-20, plus the 1% increase that was negotiated for 2021. So that would be a large reason for that increase. In addition, most of the grants you do see do include salary increases and enrollment increases, because each grant has a component of enrollment and salary and benefits. And the qualifications and experience grant, again, that is based on where our staff are, whether they're have more years experience or less years experience as compared to the provincial average. So that is why that grant is up significantly. So at that point, we're through a major portion of the presentation, so I'm open to any questions at this point. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll go through roll call again to see if trustees have any questions at this point. This time I'll start with Trustee Galindo.
No, I don't have any questions at this point, but I do appreciate the detailed presentation. It's a good refresher, considering that this is only my second year as trustee and going through the budget process. So thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Johnstone?
I'm good, thanks.
Trustee Tutt?
I echo Trustee Galindo's comments. Thank you.
Trustee Buck?
I also have no questions. Thank you for the work you put in.
Okay, thank you. And can I just ask about transportation and our 2019-20 approved budget? The estimate for this year is a little bit lower. Do we have a reason for that?
Through the chair, part of it could be last year the ministry did project a 4% increase in transportation grants, and prior to last year, it was always 2%. So in the current year's estimate, we have only projected 2% increase and did not go ahead with the 4%. So we will be waiting for the GSM to confirm whether it's a 2% increase for fuel or 4% for next year.
Thank you. And otherwise, that was a very clear report, so if you'd like to carry on, that would be great.
Sorry, through the chair, if we take a look at slide 3.23, it's a summary of expenditures. So as you can see from the big, huge blue section of our total expenditures, 88.5% of our expenditures are on salaries and benefits, which is our remuneration. If you take a look at all of the rest of them, transportation is at about $16.7 million or 3%. Energy is approximately 2%. Textbooks and supplies is approximately 3%. And most of the other expenditure categories are 1% or less. So without the pictures, if we look at 3.24, you can see our total of $587 million worth of expenditures. Again, you can see our highest point being our remuneration, which is salaries and benefits, and temporary assistance, which includes replacement costs, our professional development, which is about $2.5 million, textbooks and supplies, which includes school budgets, and things like textbooks and supplies in various departments and central allocations that come in centrally that are then allocated out to the schools, such as SHISM and our specialized programs. Our energy is expected to be about $10.6 million. Repairs and maintenance stay consistent at $3.8 million. And as you can see, our transportation being approximately $16.9 million, a little bit up from last year, and our contingency of $1 million. If we look at 3.25, our salaries and wages are up $14.1 million. A large portion of this would be the contract extension increases, which is the as you recall, last year when we built the 1920 budget, there was no central agreement. So the salary increases that were put in for 1920 were zero. So we are seeing a two-year impact of salary increases between budget to budget because these were not negotiated and settled until the spring. So there would be 1% salary increase for all unionized employees for September 2019, and an additional 1% for September 1st, 2020. There is movement on the grid, which means every year in September, teachers and other staff move on the grid, which means they have gained another year experience. Therefore, there is an additional salary cost associated with it, and that is fully funded through the qualification and experience grant. There are other changes in our salaries and wages due to our staffing changes, which we have talked at great lengths about at other finance and facilities meetings. So we have changes due to enrollment, school closures and opening, the support for student funding, uncertainty due to PPF funding, and other budget additions and reductions. So I do want to note that we did bring back a report in April 20th that where we approved probably 90% of our entire staffing budget. And, of course, all of those changes are reflected in the salaries and wages that you see before you today. Benefits are up approximately $3 million. There are increases and decreases in statutory benefits such as CPP and WSIB. There are increases in employee life and health trust rates, which were negotiated through the central agreements, and benefits are also up because of increasing staffing levels. Supply costs, which in this exhibit is the replacement cost, and this is a ministry definition, replacement cost for teachers, educational assistants, and early childhood educators. These supply costs are up $564,000, which is primarily based on our salary increases from the preliminary budget to the budget last year to the current year, so $564,000 due to salary increases. Professional development is up just over $400,000. There are two things that are driving this increase. One is the support for students funding for early childhood educators, which was 100% to go to professional development for our DECE. And as you recall, we did bring a report in May about additional funding to support health and safety training for our occasional staff. Textbooks and supplies are down $519,000, and really all this is a reduction in our fiber wire or internet costs. This is due to less schools, increase in our broadband width and things like that, and reduced rates that have been negotiated with our provider. So this is good news year over year. Our fees and contractuals, on the other hand, are up $650,000, and two components are part of this. One is an increase in our insurance premiums, and the second is an increase in our maintenance fees for computer software. So as we continue to become more digitalized and we have more computer software licensing that is required across the board, and also some of our vendors have increased their prices accordingly over the last couple of years. Transportation is projected to be approximately $650,000 higher than last year. There are additional routes that had to be added due to transitions and school closures. We're also anticipating there is a carrier rate increase in place, and there's also part of this is that we are anticipating an increase in the transportation grant. Every year they do provide additional funding for increased fuel costs. I know right now during the pandemic, our fuel costs are a little low. However, what has happened in the past is we have incurred and got an increase in the grant, so we have increased the expenditure accordingly. If that does not occur, and the grant does not include an increase for fuel costs, then the expenditure will be reduced accordingly. So if we take a look at the final slide, 3-32, you do see we're in a balanced budget scenario where our total grants are $587 million. Our total expenditures are $587 million. So we are in a balanced budget. These summaries, I know they're very hard to read, but they are included in your written package that was distributed the other day. So at this point, I will stop and see if there's any questions before we move on to the staffing component of the budget. Thank you.